Good morning. It's good to see everybody today. Glad you could all make it out in the rain, and but you know, we need it, so it's good to have it. Just a couple of quick notes for you this morning. One is today is the last day to put your name down if you want to order a t-shirt. Those will be being ordered tomorrow probably, so or maybe even this afternoon. So if you want one, that is out there on the Welcome Center. Please go ahead and sign up for one of those, and you'll pay when they come in. So the other thing is we're looking for volunteers for the Come As You Are Day. We will have a sign-up sheet next week for volunteers. We're looking to kind of limit the number of volunteers. One of the things that we realized over the last 2 years is it looks very overwhelming if somebody comes in and there's 28 people waiting, and some of them standing there like vultures, and others sitting around eating all the donuts. And so we've decided we're going to limit those, but due to unforeseen circumstances, we weren't able to have our meeting to set up the amount that we wanted. So that will be, we will get that done this week, and we'll have the sign-up sheets next week for those. And also, there is plenty of room if you have things you would like to donate. There's plenty of room left where we're putting stuff to bring in more, and so we could use much more. So if you have anything, remember the lists that we gave you a few weeks ago. If you don't have that list, I think there's still a few more of them out on the table. If they're not, simply ask me and I will get you a copy of that list. Also, if you know somebody who would be in need and could come for that, take one of the sheets that tells about that, and we will have more of those next week, so you can hand those out as well. So, this week is supposed to be Youth Sunday, so the youth have, you know, led worship and led our hearts in prayer and in communion. And I was thinking about Youth Sunday, and the thing that came to my mind was the concept, the idea of junior partners. If you're a junior partner in something, it doesn't mean that you're of any less value than the other partners. It doesn't mean that you might not be smarter, or you might not be better at things that your firm is doing. What it means is that you don't have the age, you don't have quite the long-term buy-in into that particular firm or organization that the other partners do. And as I was thinking about the youth that we have, that we have, one of the things that came to my mind is the fact that while they may not have been a part of the church as long as some of the rest of us, even I have not been a part of the church as long as some of you, whether it's this church or another church, where you can say, you know, I've been a member of a church for 60 years, 70 years maybe. Maybe one or two of you even more than that. I look at my own life and I can say, you know, I was almost born in the church. I was born on Tuesday morning and I was in church the following Sunday. And I've been in church all my life. But the thing is I know that there are some of you who've been a part of church more than I have. And I know that I've been a member and part of a church longer than some of the youth here. I mean, since three of them are my offspring, and like I said, I've been in church since I was a baby. They have not been in church as long as I have. That doesn't mean that they don't have something to offer the church. It doesn't mean that they don't have something to offer to the kingdom of God. And so I was thinking about the youth, and there were several passages that came to my mind, several things that talk about youth and what the youth do and how they can be involved. And the one that really stuck with me was from 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to turn there, we'll begin with verse 6. As Jackson said, you know, I brought this book with me, and maybe it should be yellow and black, but I also think more than that, it should be the most prized book that we have as the Word of God. And if you don't have one, Jackson will hook you up. Or we can make sure you get one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, Paul writing to his young protege Timothy says, "If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things." You know, there's a big difference between godlessness and godliness. We're talking about godliness, okay? Just so you know what. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, when I was reading this and thinking about the youth that we have and thinking about some of the other passages in the Scriptures that talk about the things that the youth, the young, add to the body of Christ as members, as people who have something great to offer. You know, we can look at them, and sometimes we say, you know, look at your youth because they're the future of the church. But really, if we look at them, they're not the future of the church, but they're the church in the present. They are the church that's here today. Yes, they're the church that will be here tomorrow. And yes, though they're not leaders today, we hope they will be into the future. So in some sense, yes, they are the church of tomorrow. But if we simply look at them at that way, we overlook so much of what they can do. Paul is writing to Timothy, and there are really two areas that he talks about that the young and the young at heart can have impact on the body of Christ. The first is of those is through their action. Paul looks at Timothy and he says, be an example. Be an example to those who need to grow in their faith. Look, be an example for the believers. And as I was writing this, I was thinking about the fact that in a few minutes the youth are going to come up and they're going to share a little bit about what we've done, what we've accomplished this summer. And the first thing that I thought of was the number of things that they do physically, the energy that they put forth to serve. And as I was thinking about these, the first person that came to mind was Samuel. If you read the story of the prophet Samuel, it begins and it begins with him in the temple and Eli. But before it gets to the words that Samuel says, and before it gets to the prophetic ministry of Samuel, it says that he was in charge of opening the doors to the tabernacle. He was the one who was in charge of making sure that the doors were open so that people could come in and worship. So day in and day out, he would make sure that the lamps had the oil that they needed so that they could burn for the day. And then he would make sure that the lamps had the oil that they needed so they could burn through the night. And then he was there to make sure that at the proper times, the curtains, the doors of the tabernacle were open so that people could come in and worship. Most people probably didn't know Samuel. Most people probably didn't see the things that Samuel was doing. Most people didn't understand how much they owed to Samuel, this young boy, in their worship at the tabernacle. But yet here he is, and he's playing an important role in the worship of everyone. Playing a real and vital role in the community of Israel. And I know if you sit down and you visit with the youth, whether it's the four that have been part of the program this summer, or whether it's going back the last few years and you could sit down with some of the ones who've graduated and moved on, one of the things that you'll hear is the impact of little things that they've done. Sometimes here within the church and other times out in other aspects of kingdom work, but they've all done things that impact the kingdom of God. You know, I can stand here this morning and think about the things that the youth told us about what they did last year when they went to Philly. The things that they did to serve there. I think about things like Brooklyn and Mackenzie who've done solos and specials for us. Brooklyn who has spent many, many Sundays behind the keyboard over here. Think about, I know I was told that somebody that was used to be a part of the church did the two medians out here between our two parking lots. And every day I get to enjoy some of those views as I sit in my office. You know, just young people, just those people who are carrying out their ministry and aiding to the value of the kingdom. The other thing that Paul talks to Timothy about, and that is the things that he says, that the words that he uses. And as I was studying this passage and studying about this, you know, I've always thought about the fact that Timothy was a young man. But Timothy wasn't just a young man as far as his age goes. Timothy was a very young man in the ministry when Paul began to entrust him to take the word and to do some teaching. Because if you study and you look at things, there's a very good likelihood that Paul met Timothy somewhere around 49 AD. So somewhere in 49 at the latest, you'd put it at 51, but you have to look and say it was probably closer to 49, because it isn't very long before, well, Paul writes to his first letter to the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 3, verses 2 and 6, Paul twice says that he sent Timothy to the church at Thessalonica. And Paul most likely wrote the letter to the Thessalonians in about 51 AD, maybe 52. And so here's a period of 3 years when Timothy has been maturing in his faith under the leadership of Paul, and Paul has been raising him up to be a ministry leader, and Paul has already sent him back to Thessalonica to carry a message and to bring a report back to Paul. And so we see that the words of Timothy are important. And he is a young man.
Even in ministry years, by the time that Paul wrote 1 Timothy, probably in 62, maybe 64 A.D., during the time of his imprisonment in Rome, he hasn't grown that much. And so Paul encourages him to make sure that he keeps his teaching sound and to keep his doctrine pure and to make sure that he teaches well. But Paul identifies that here is this young man who is sharing the Word of God, who is teaching and instructing people. Some of them maybe have been in the faith longer than Timothy has. But assuredly, some of them are much older than Timothy. And so we look at these young people and we say, you know, what is the message that they have to say? And again, I thought about Samuel. Because here is Samuel. He's a young boy. He's probably not even in his teenage years yet. When God chooses Samuel to speak to Eli, and several times God comes to Samuel and says, Samuel, and Samuel runs to Eli and says, you called, what do you want? And finally Eli realizes what's going on and he says, next time you say, speak, for your servant is listening. And God comes to Samuel again and Samuel responds and then God gives him this message about the doom that is coming, about the judgment that is coming to the house of Eli. You see, God didn't just give him a nice, easy message to share. It wasn't go out and tell everybody that the flowers are going to bloom and everything is going to be good. Rather, God looks at Samuel and says, to this young boy, I've got a difficult task for you, but I know that you're up to it. I know that you are up to sharing this difficult message with Eli. That judgment is going to come on his house. And that his sons will die. And that he will die. And that there will never be one of his descendants who grows old. And Samuel carried that message faithfully to Eli. Not because necessarily he wanted to, and not necessarily because it was easy, but it was because what God had asked him to do. And here's the thing I know. I've spent some time with these young people, and I know that in their hearts, they want to share the message. They want to share the truth. You know, we all want to share the truth when it's easy. We all want to share the truth when it's nice, but they're committed to living and telling the truth even when it's not. To saying the hard things when those are the things that need to be said. And so while they might not have the age that we have, while they may not have the maturity that we have, while they may not have the life experiences that we have, God can use them, and God chooses to use them and to speak through them and to work through them. And as older, more mature followers in Christ, it's our job to learn when God calls us to learn from them and to encourage them when we can encourage them and to strengthen their faith by all means, as often as we can. You see, it's difficult to look at where we're at because we know that we're going to lose two of them to college in just a couple weeks. And while we won't have them to encourage and to be with us every week, we know that they've grown well and they will be wonderful people to send to serve elsewhere. and we want to encourage them as they go. But now I want to give them an opportunity. We've done some things this summer as a group. And for the next few minutes, I've just asked them to share a little bit about what it is we've done and what they've experienced and maybe what they've learned through those things. So, one of you can come start. See, we're doing this real formally. I knew it would be Jackson, but I'm being nice and not just calling on one of them. So they're going to come share, and when they're done, I'll come back and share just a little bit more.
Hey, guys. Obviously, I've been elected first. So we have done two major things this summer that were very educational, very just awesome experiences. Unfortunately, Lainey didn't get to go on one of them with us. But first we went to CIY, so it was a while ago, so it's kind of fleeting in my memory. But we went to Cedarville, Ohio. The theme was contrast. So every single day there were stories and lessons that were based around living a life that is contrasted to the rest of the world. So every single day it was just super going real heavy, two sessions a day. You guys kind of know how CIY works from all the stories from past years. But this year, it was very different. It was just me, Brooklyn, and Lauren. My sister Hannah went as the female chaperone, and Rocky was the male chaperone. But since there was only five of us, we were able to experience CIY on a much like more intimate level, I guess. We were in small groups the whole time because we were a small group, and we were late to everything. we were late to CIY, which I didn't know was possible. But we just learned a lot about each other, a lot about kingdom work, which we use later on, and just CIY is just a great experience, especially going off to college. It's kind of a renewal, I guess. It's kind of bad to think about it like that, but it just gets you back on track and really gets your mind set right. So it's just a really awesome experience for us to go to and just worship the Lord together. It's just a really intense week of worship. So the second thing we did was we worked at the Mercy Gardens all around Decatur. Those are run by Good Samaritan Inn, if you haven't heard of them. They're basically mostly vegetable gardens that Good Samaritan uses, mostly in their kitchen. Some of it, whenever they have extra, they give some of it away, and they sell some of it as well. But it was hard work, but it was very fulfilling. I've never... if you look at me, I don't really look like I've done too much hard work in my life. So I got there, and I just started on raking up stuff, and I had blisters in like 2 minutes. And I was like, man, this hurts. But they were so encouraging. I mean, all of us, I think most of us, ran a big, heavy till. We ran weed whackers. They're throwing Lainey on this big, heavy till machine, and she rocked it. I mean, they're just like, they'll let you do everything. They're very encouraging, but it was hard work, but we were able to do it together. We enjoyed it, and if you ever get the chance, even for a day, it's super, super duper fun. You get to learn about what Good Samaritan is doing, and we also learned a statistic that the crime rate in the neighborhood has dropped, I don't know the percentage, but it's insane. Like, seriously, if you heard the percentage, your jaw would drop, you'd be taken aback. It's that crazy. So it's just, what they're doing is creating, it's such a huge impact in the neighborhood and just all over the city. So it's a super cool ministry that they're doing, and I'm glad I got to be a part of it, and I assume everyone else is too, but I'll pass it on to whoever's next.
Hello. So first I want to talk about CIY, since this was all of our last year and we were graduating seniors. That was a little different because we got to go to some extra classes that were specifically geared toward us, as opposed to if we were freshmen, they have other things for freshmen. But another thing that CIY does every year is they do Kingdom Worker. Their whole initiative is to become a Kingdom Worker. And so they always show a video at every session of something that somebody has done. And in years past, it's always something like they felt the need to go to Mexico, or they raised a whole bunch of money for homelessness, or just really big things that these people have done. And so this year, the videos, the first one was about a kid, and he just ran to the sound booth. And so I found that really interesting because in years past, they've showcased people who have done really big things, but this year they focused more on the little things that we can do. So I thought that was kind of important with what Rocky was saying earlier. And also I wanted to talk about Mercy Gardens. Like Jackson said, our leader Milton, first day, he's like, okay, you're going to run the tiller right now. We're like, okay, we're doing this. So he got us out there and he got us working, and it was really cool to see how we just go section by section and plant rows and rows and rows, and then we'd look back and be like, there's a little garden there now. So that was extremely cool, and I will definitely be driving back by there to see how our plants have grown, if they have. So it was cool to give back to the community and spend some time here at home, as opposed to like going to Philadelphia or somewhere where we can actually see the results firsthand. So whoever's next.
All right, so like they've said, at CIY, our kind of focus was living a life in contrast from the simple world and our old simple selves. We had lessons, big sessions two times a day where a speaker would come and speak to us about how we can work to live our life in contrast. And then we would have devotionals every day showing us a different section of our life that should be contrasting what the simple nature would be. So there were things like learning to love instead of fear, or learning to live in the light instead of the darkness. And it was just really cool to see all the different places that our life contrasts a simple life. And then we also, like they said, we got a lot of small group time because we're a small group. But we got to have lots of conversations with the smaller group, so it was more close, and we got to learn more about each other and just have a really good discussions. And then at the Mercy Gardens, we got to do a lot of things I've never done before. we learned how to use all sorts of different garden equipments, like the weed whackers and the tillers, and we learned how to plant all sorts of different plants and how far apart everything needs to be and how often you need to water everything, and you got to learn pretty much anything you need to know about plants. Don't know how much of it I remember, but so it was a lot of hard work, but we got a lot of breaks and had a lot of fun and got a lot of blisters, so.
So I didn't go to CIY. We decided to save that for the seniors who were graduated and going on to college. But I did go and work at Mercy Gardens. It was definitely hard work, like all of them had said. I don't like physical work. It's just me. So it was an interesting week. You know, it was hot, and we were doing a lot of hard work, and I also don't do very well in heat, so that was an interesting combination. But in the end, it was good. We got to do something that impacted our community, which I thought was pretty great. So I learned how to plant potatoes, which is pretty cool. I didn't know how to plant potatoes before, so I know how to do that now. I learned how to use a giant weed whacker. Never done that before. Probably never will again. There was a lot of flying weeds. Those are actually quite painful. We also did a lot of weeding. There were a lot of weeds. We tried to save some strawberries, but they were a little too far gone. So in the end, it wasn't worth avoiding the strawberries while we were weeding. And then our shift every day was supposed to be from 8 to noon, which I was like, okay, let's do this. But then the guy who was in charge of it always let us off by 11. We were always out by 11. Even if we wanted to stay and work, we were out by 11. The last day we got there, and I think we planted like 5 plants, and they was like, okay, you can go now. So that was pretty great. There was a lot of dirt and plants, and I'm pretty much just repeating myself now. So, I think I'm done.
Yes, as they said, we went to Cedarville, Ohio, for CIY, and we did some fun things. We did some interesting things. We learned some, and we ran into somebody that knew James Osborne. Maybe we didn't run into him. We found them and we made sure we knew if they knew him. So he evidently goes to the coffee shop that we wanted to go to. But we did have a good week at CIY. The kids were challenged, and in fact, if you go up, you can ask Brooklyn to look at her shirt, CIY shirt, the bones and the flowers, the contrast between death and life. And really, as they were, the youth were up here talking, I was thinking about the contrast that we then saw as we were working with Mercy Garden. Because when we started the first day and a half that we were working, we were at Richland, and they used to have some garden plots out there at Richland that had not been used for several years, and through the programs with Good Samaritan Inn and the Mercy Garden working with Richland to get some of the horticulture things back at Richland, Mercy Gardens has taken over several of those garden plots. And as I said, they were whacking weeds, and part of that first day, some of us were raking up the weeds that they had whacked already to get some of the seeds out of the plot, but then they came in right behind us and tilled them up, and then a few minutes later, we went from weeds and killing weeds to planting things in those very plots. And so they got the experience of seeing that. They were taking care of the potatoes, and what they forgot to mention is that later in the week they were trying to pierce Lainey's foot and tie her to the ground with the shovel or the potato fork as we were harvesting potatoes. Or it was Lauren? Oh, excuse me, pardon me. They were trying to pin Lauren's foot to the ground. But yes, we got to harvest, part of harvesting some potatoes. They harvested some beans. Lainey got to be a part of harvesting some tomatoes. I thought you did tomatoes with a T in the greenhouse. See? I told her tomato. She's trying to deny she did it, but I remembered. And so we got to see everything from the very beginning until, well, not the very end of the process, but the end of the growing process there. And we were able to work with a small group all week that are part of that training program, part of the learning. And so it was a good experience to work with them as well. And you know, one of the things they all said every day was, even though when I asked this group back in February, you know, what kind of things do you want to do for youth group, they said, well, as you can see, none of us are athletic, so nothing that involves athletic type stuff. And as Jackson said, he's a hard worker. He just doesn't do a lot of physical things. And as Lainey says, she hates work, period. So even though they would all claim that they don't do that kind of stuff every day, they let us go early, not because they didn't want us there, but because they could only do so much and we had accomplished everything they had that we could do. They were always complimenting us on how hard they were working, and several times said, "You guys know you've done more to help us than several larger groups that have come in here to work." And so, you know, they really were putting forth a good face for the church, our church, but the church as a whole, as they were using those gifts and the abilities that God has given them. So, we all have things that we can give. I just wanted them to share with you what they have given this summer, so that when you look back and you think about things like the chili cook-off and other things that they've done, those things to help raise some funds for the youth group, these are the kinds of things that they're doing when we ask for those things. But they always are sharing the message of Jesus Christ as well, and that's what we all come to celebrate. And this morning, as we always do, we're going to have one more song, an invitation. And I would just invite you this morning to look in your own life and say, how is my life of service? How am I doing in serving my King and my Lord in this world that we live in? Or maybe this morning you just need to say, you know what, I need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's where you're at, we'd love to celebrate that with you as well this morning. If you need to make a commitment, if you need to make a decision, won't you come as we stand together and sing?